Okay, I want to thank you all again so much for your patience with my voice last week. I know some people said it was painful to listen to. So thank you very much. And last week we had the chance to begin to take a look at the list of five elements. You remember that the Ramchal had spent the central part of the Akdama on his assertion that Avos Hashem is something that requires serious study. Avos Hashem is a subject with intellectual depth and one that requires serious ear. And now at the end of the Akdama, he turns to ask, so now that we're sold on that idea, we're prepared to accept that Avos Hashem requires real work and real amelos and real iyun, so we begin by defining our terms and begin by defining the scope of Avos Hashem. And that is the last time Ramchal found the most primary source of all, Pasuk and Chumash. That was if you follow along on the Sefaria edition of Masilas Yesharim here in the introduction. So that Pasuk had appeared in paragraph Lamed Aleph, from paragraph 31, a Pasuk in Parashas Ekev, that there are five elements of Avos Hashem. Mo Hashem lech kecha shel mimach, what does Ribono Shel Olam ask of you? A, B, C, D, E. And that was appeared in paragraph Lamed Beis, Kam kol kol chelkei shleimus ha'avoda, hanir tes l'shmonis baruch. In this brief couple of psukim, Moshe Rabbeinu lays out the scope of what it is that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants of us, what's the sort of perfected avoda that Kadosh Baruch Hu appreciates, and that is these five elements. We spoke last time about Yira. Yira as an awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a God consciousness. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a reality in my life, and his sense of his presence is something that I actually live with rather than just that I, in my mind, subscribe to it, actually operate with and implement my life with the assumption that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present. So that's the awareness of the reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's element number one, that is Yira. And we began, I want to pick up with what we had began last week, which is element number two, Halicha B'drachav. Halicha B'drachav, so what does it mean to go in a, to walk in a Kadosh Baruch Hu's ways? To walk in a Kadosh Baruch Hu's path. It's a turn of phrase that appears at least seven times throughout Chumash Dvarim. And the truth is it's a curious one, because literally, Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't take any particular path. He is not, as we left off last week, he's not choosing between the bridge and the tunnel to decide whether to take the ferry or not. I mean, to take HaKadosh Baruch Hu's path. So this is the last time, and Ramchal briefly quotes in paragraph Lamed Dalad, 34, Uma Shibir Uzal, Mahu Rachum, Afata Rachum, Mahu Chanun, Afata Chanun, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described in the Tanakh as being compassionate and kind. We should be compassionate and kind. Elsewhere, the Gemara talks about practical behaviors. Kadosh Baruch Hu is described as the performing b'kacholim in the context of Avinu. Described before as Kadosh Baruch Hu described as being on the chevra kadisha, taking care of the burial of Moshe Rabbeinu. So we're supposed to pattern ourselves after that. And Ramchal goes on to say, though, here, actually, at the very beginning, Kol Inyan, the beginning of line Lama Dawid, Halicha B'drachav Kol Inyan Yosha Hamidus V'Tikunam. That going in Akash Baruch Hu's ways, it sounds like he's trying to say that it covers more than only being kind and compassionate. That is certainly incredibly important, but that is not the entire extent of Halicha B'drachav. It's Kol Inyan Yosha Hamidus V'Tikunam. It's the full extent of character development. It's the full swath what it means to develop good midos. And that's something that the Rambam stresses in the opening three chapters of Hilchos Deos. Rambam talks about the different sorts of descriptions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we find throughout Tanakh, and how those descriptions are meant to give us a sense. Rambam seems to indicate the primary purpose of those descriptions is to give us a sense of what's the divine model in describing human terms. Obviously, any description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu human terms is by definition very imperfect, but at least it gives us a sense of how we could model ourselves after him. And the Rambam makes it clear, it's not only, it certainly includes, but it's not only about being kind and sweet. It is that. It's also, Ram says, about how you deal with money. It's how you deal with frustration. Rambam develops the idea at length, the opening two prakim of Hilchos Deos in the Mishnah Torah, that the general principle, with few exceptions, is to try to go for a normal, balanced mean, a golden mean. So, for instance, it talks about spending money, not to be a miser who can never spend on important things, and the other extreme, not to be a spendthrift who just spend money without thought, but to be willing to spend in a reasonable, measured way, to be generous when appropriate and to save when appropriate. That's an example of a lachta b'drachav. This idea of lachta b'drachav, which is Rav Soloveitchik in his drashas and writings, saw this as a very, very central idea. We see right here in the Seals of Sharm, that's one of the five core elements of Elas Hashem. The Rav saw it as being very, very central in terms of the whole enterprise of halacha and of midah and of mitzvahs. And he pointed out that there are a number of surprising descriptions we come across of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's behaviors. And the Rav pointed out these two are meant to fit into this rubric developed by Rambam Mesil Sisharim, that those descriptions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's operations are meant to give us, describing human terms, some divine reality, describing human terms that enable us to figure out how we can, in our own human way, emulate and try to copy, as humans, that divine reality. So, for instance, one of the more surprising ones is something we'll say, we're not going to say Barchi Nafshi for another month and a half, but Barchi Nafshi is a shocking pasuk that the Gemara picks up on. Barchi Nafshi's description of all the various cycles of nature, astronomical and biological, animals that come out in the day, animals come out at night, how animals raise their young, ecological cycles, the beauty, Barchi Nafshi, Tilm Kuvdal, is all about recognizing the beauty of and the majesty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Bria by noticing the cycles in the cosmos. But there, it is a pasuk, there's a reference there to the Leviathan. What does the Talmud Maach say about Leviathan? Leviathan zeh yatzarta l'sachek po. And this Leviathan, it sounds like, and the Gemara interprets it as such, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you create Leviathan in order that you can play with it, which is rather surprising. Well, why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu playing? Gemara describes the Kadosh Baruch Hu's schedule. So you can see the divine calendar, the divine organizer. What does the Kadosh Baruch Hu's schedule look like? And the Gemara describes, and this time to this time he's doing this, and this time he's doing that, judging the world, shiduchim, learning, and so on and so forth. The Gemara says there's a time set aside in which the Kadosh Baruch Hu is mesachik in Ma'aleh Yassin, which is incredibly surprising. Well, what does he mean? The Kadosh Baruch Hu plays. And the truth is the Gemara is picking up on this pasuk until. So, what the Gemara is trying to tell us is that we don't know what it means in divine terms, because we don't understand that Kadosh Baruch Hu, but the human equivalent is to have time to relax, to be a playful personality, to not be, now we take everything so seriously. Some things, as with all other mitos, everything in the right balance. Some things need to be taken seriously, but some things need to be, you know, let things roll off. And to develop a sort of balanced, healthy personality and to carve out time to be playful, to carve out time to relax, that's not just a psychological necessity. That's actually an element of Alach Tadrachav, this fundamental mitzvah. That's a divine model. Another, I'll share one more example of such a, the Alach Tadrachav insight. The Rav in a somewhat famous Russia points to the following. In Chumash, the first description we have of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Bereishis Bara Elokim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the creator of the universe. And the second element of the Rav Halach Gnan is largely about recognizing that being for a human being to be creative is one of the most profound types of Halach Tadrachav that there is, because after all, it's one of the most fundamental things we can say about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To the extent we can say anything about Kadosh Baruch Hu, that he is the ultimate in creativity. We offer late evening and Saturday appointments. if I could ask you to mute.
About which appointment time and date is best for you. UDMI.
The conference has been muted.
So that we understand. The Kadosh Baruch Hu is a Bore, and we're meant to be, in our own ways, Boreim, creative people as well. The Rav, though, points to a more surprising description of Kadosh Baruch Hu in that context that the Bereishis Rabba has. Bereishis Rabba quotes, I believe it's Rabbi Abohu, who says that Kadosh Baruch Hu built the world, wasn't happy the way it turned out, destroyed it. Started again, built another universe, again didn't work out the way I wanted. That's what it sounds like. Destroyed it. Bona olam osu machrivan, until he finally comes to the world as we have it. Now, whether or not that speaks to extinction of dinosaurs and different stages in the development of the universe, that's a question that the Tzvar Shalrei took up. But, and that's certainly a possibility. But the Rav wondered, what does this mean? Kadosh Baruch Hu is Kol Yachal. Kadosh Baruch Hu is omnipotent. He doesn't need trial and error. He could have gotten it right the first time. What was gained by trying and destroying and trying and destroying and trying and destroying and finally keeping one? So Rav suggests that Valach B'Drachav is the key to understanding that as well. Kadosh Baruch Hu engaged in creative process in a way and describes it in human terms in a way that indicates to us that the ability, the perseverance to be able to pick oneself up after a failure and to do it again and to pick oneself up and dust yourself off and give it another try, that itself is an aspect of Alach B'drachav, that sort of persistence. The Rav suggests that the key point is not so much the machrivan as much as the bona again. But after a churban, it didn't work out, pick myself up and do it again. He talks about Rabbi Akiva rebuilding his yeshiva after the fall of Bar Kochba from the 24,000 Talmidim. He talks about Jews who came over after World War II and rebuilt themselves and families and communities and their own lives in more dramatic ways or in less dramatic ways, to be able to react to failure with a return to another attempt at binyan. That's a very, very central aspect of this, again, the second of the five elements, to develop our personality and our character around the divine model. And then we come to the third. In around 5 to 7 minutes, we'll stop for questions. But now I want to turn our attention to the third element. After Yira and Alicha B'drachav, in paragraph 11:36, Ha'ava, the third element is to love Rebbeinu Shlom. He says, now, what does it mean to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What does it mean to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's a mitzvah we talk about all the time. We speak about 2 to 4 times a day. What does it mean? So he says, well, again, he gives a nested definition. He starts by defining Ava in terms of Ava, as he saw he does sometimes, as he's done in the past as well. Ha'ava, here in the paragraph Amud Vav, Shiyiyya nikba b'lev ha'adam ha'avai lev yisparach. For a person to install, to fix, to deeply plant Ava for HaKadosh Baruch Hu within one's heart. But so, okay, now so we know that whatever this Ava is, it has to be deeply rooted. But what is Ava? So he says, well, the indicator is object is orer nafsho la'asos nachas ruach v'fanos. To the extent that I'm inspired to want to do that which makes the Kadosh Baruch Hu happy, k'moshel libo misorer la'asos nachas ruach la'avu imo. Person has a healthy relationship with parents, cares about parents, and he's going to want to do the things that makes him happy. He's at a point in his life, a place in his life where his relationship with his parents is relatively uncomplicated. The parents, you know, this will make the parents happy. Fun to do that. A. B. Yitzta'em chaser ze mitzido o me'achir. Not only am I naturally inclined to want to do the things, inspired to want to do the things that make him or her happy, it'll upset me if it's not happening. Whether it's not being a Mayan, it'll bother me if I'm not able to come through for them. Or coming back to Avos Hashem, if I'm not able to come through for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And love also means Yitzhayim Chasazem Echer. It upsets me, genuinely, authentically upsets me if other people aren't coming through with what the object of my love would be happy with. And I'll have a sense of kinah. It'll upset me. Again, not, and it's important to recognize, he's not talking about self-righteousness. It's not that, oh, I see someone doing the wrong thing. Here's my opportunity to feel so firm to put him down. This authentic kinah comes from Ava. I care about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I care about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want that which, quote-unquote, makes him happy. It upsets, I'll do whatever I can to make it happen. And I feel bad if I'm not coming through. I feel bad if other people aren't coming through for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not upset at them, but I'm upset that that which I can return to Hashem is not being met. And I'll be inspired to want to change that reality. And he closes this sentence about Ava with a referencing a topic that does not come up often in the Sefer Yerushalmi at all, and that is Simcha. Yismach Simcha Rabba Basoso Davar Mizeh. The person is in love with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Well, if I'm in love with the person, I want to do the things that make that person happy. It'll upset me if that's not coming through. And finally, not only do I want to do the things that make that person happy, but it will give me joy to make him or her happy. Now, what is it? The Ramchal gave us sort of like a series of trees, a series of a phenomena. To want to do that which makes the other happy. To be upset if that's not happy. To get derive joy from making the other happy. And what all of those stem from a single idea. Like I may have showed you in the past, Mashal, I tell about the Mashkiach and the Muslim Yeshiva. I think he's also told over of Mishim Bekatzker that the Mashkiach comes across the boy, Yimshal Shiris. Everyone, there's fish on the table, and this one Talmud is going at the fish with unusual gusto. I think I may have shared this mashal with somebody in the past. Mashkiach says, you seem to really enjoy the fish. And the Talmud says, I love fish. And the Mashkiach checks, you love fish? Absolutely, Rebbe, I love fish. You're sure? So now the Talmud starts to wonder whether there's something he's missing. And he said, yeah, I think I love fish. Mashkiach says, ah. I mean, if I go to your dorm room, I'll find an aquarium. And there are fish swimming in it. So Talmud's like, not exactly. And he says, and you feed the fish every day, and you check the temperature every once in a while, you periodically clean the filter. Tom was like, not at all. So Mashkiach says, you love fish. You love yourself. You enjoy the taste of fish. So you feed yourself the fish that you enjoy. Now, nothing wrong with not loving fish. The name says, Avas, Dagim. But to care about, but to love a person, to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu means to care about making the other happy. And that's really what the Ramchal is describing here. The key word is care. Ava of a person is to care about another. Sometimes we make the mistake of, whether you determine love or friendship, sometimes we make the mistake of confusing self-interest with that. Sometimes, is that person really my friend? Do I really care about what makes him or her happy? Or are they just useful to me? Do I love my wife? I love my spouse. I really want what's best for her, for him. Or I just, she's convenient. She provides for me. I love myself. That's a question we need to ask oneself. In important human relationships, is this truly love? Is this truly friendship? And in relations to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu means exactly that. It means to deeply care about that which makes HaKadosh Baruch Hu happy. Let's just wrap up what we spoke about today with the following observation, which is so far we've seen three of the five elements. We'll move to element number four, Bilinetta, next week. But it's worth considering the sequence. Yira is a recognition of the reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Once HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a reality in my life, then I can move to two and three. Then I can talk, once HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a reality in my life, in my kishkas, so then I can, number one, speak about modeling myself after HaKadosh Baruch Hu, item number two, Alicha B'drachim, and number three, once HaKadosh Baruch Hu is reality in my life, I can begin to talk about developing an emotional relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why both Halicha Bedrachav and Ava emulate in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and develop in a caring emotional relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why both of those follow on the heels of a God consciousness of Yira, which is number one. I'm going to unmute in a moment, and I'd be glad to take questions.
The conference has been unmuted.
If anyone has any questions, I'm glad to field questions now or later on by text or in person. I want to thank you so much for calling in, for participating. We will continue with Hashem next week, Tuesday at 12:30.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Accessibility to the exam.